We were at this conference yesterday. The theme of the conference was dreams, and they were talking about living in your dream and how you can be in the center of your dream and things can still be murky and hard, and there's moments where you're persevering. And so I'm going to admit to you, in a moment of humanness right now, Leanne looks at me and she goes, "So how does it feel now that you're living in the center of your dream?" And I was like, "What dream?" She goes, "Like being a lead pastor." And I said, "That wasn't the dream." She went, "What?" I said, "I never actually envisioned this in this package, not just in this season, but in general. I knew that I was called to pastor. I knew that I was called to serve the local church in some capacity in that sense. But in terms of filling this leadership position, it wasn't until the last couple years, as kind of things were shifting and happening, that I even saw that maybe I had the skill set to somehow execute that." And so if you're talking about dreams that were like far off that you looked at in the distance, this particular specific one wasn't actually in my blueprint. And yet I come in, I said this to Pastor John last week, and I sit every day at my desk and I go, "Oh my gosh, this is my life. Like, I get to do this and I love it." And so guys, the reason that I love it is you. You guys make this amazing and you make the journey exciting. And I know that we have seen good things happen this year, but I know that that is not the best of it. The best is yet to come. And I am very, very, very excited, because that means that it doesn't matter if there's two of us in the office all week together, we all get to do this together, and we all get to celebrate the wins together, and we all get to support each other together. And without you guys, I wouldn't get to do what I do. I wouldn't love it the way that I love it. And so thank you for your love, but please know that it goes two ways, and I love you all beyond measure. So thank you. This is for you. Okay. Well, this is kind of a downer of a sermon to go to now, isn't it? We're going to do part two of strongholds. Okay. Last week, we started talking about strongholds, and I begged you to come back this week so that you didn't miss out on the encouraging part, because last week, we just kind of identified what they are. Now, I'm not going to recap all of last week's message. It's going to be up online by Thursday, right? Absolutely. So you can check it out there and you can listen to it on the website. But a stronghold, a brief recap, we said was a vigorously protected spiritual reality. Okay, that was what we said a stronghold was. We said that strongholds can be bad, but on the flip side, what is our stronghold supposed to be? Okay, we're about to go 1992, people. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Okay, the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Some translations translate that as, the name of the Lord is your stronghold. It's the place you're supposed to go. Now, for the children in the room, I would like you to know that that is what we subjected all people to as a form of worship on Sunday mornings in the 90s. They even made us as children come stand on the platform and do the actions the whole way through. It was traumatic at best. It was conflicting whether we all liked it or not, but it worked, and we still remember the song, so we're going to call it a win. Last week, we found ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, where Paul says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." A stronghold is not a physical thing in the context we are talking about. A stronghold is a thought pattern. That is a stronghold, okay? So we're not looking for buildings that we're dodging. My kids like playing Minecraft, and they're always like virtually running behind buildings. I can't watch it. It makes me motion sick. But every now and then, they're just behind a new building when I look up. It's not like that. But in a spiritual sense, it's those things that we run to other than the Lord where we are trying to find safety. So last week, I threw out a couple, and I asked you to go home and consider them. And I said to you, don't think of it as a bad thing. Come back next week and be encouraged, because Jesus came and died so he could set the captive free. He could bind up the brokenhearted so we don't have to live in strongholds. That's the moment. That's the moment, right? It's exciting. I don't really enjoy living in things that are negative. So, woo! Okay, so with careful observation last week, I sent you home. We had considered a few stronghold areas. The ones we threw out were envy, greed, jealousy, bitterness, and anxiety, right? We talked about some other ones, but I asked you to go home, prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate to you any strongholds that you might knowingly or unknowingly be battling in your mind, to show you through scripture, that kind of stuff. So listen, in this moment, we all agree that anything that is said, we're not going to judge anyone for or automatically assume it's their stronghold, okay? I promise, on my honor, okay, we're good? All these childhood memories. I am wondering, hey, Drew, do you want to play with some Lego with me? You want to come help me? With the Lego. Yeah. Okay, Drew, my friend, we are going to build like a fortress, like a big tower right here, okay? You start. We're just going to build, okay? There's some pieces stuck together, yeah. Okay? So that's like, yeah. Okay, you start building. Drew is building our stronghold. I had built one up here earlier, and then I looked at it, I thought, oh man, Patrick is really going to like that during worship practice. And it wasn't very impressive because there's not enough Lego. So we're going to build our fortress here. Drew's going to keep going. Every now and then I'm going to write on one of those, okay? Make sure you build it nice and high. You want it to be big, okay? Think like tall enough that your dad could hide behind it. Seriously, that's tall, right? Okay. You can make it that tall? Excellent. You keep working. Well, I'll help you. We'll do it together, okay? Okay, so here's my question. A stronghold. What is a possible stronghold that you have considered it this week? Not all at once. Jeez. At least, I mean, if you weren't seeing God, you weren't seeing stronghold, I guess. I guess the good news is we're on an equal pendulum here. Stronghold. Cheryl. Rejection. That is a good one. Fear. Fear is definitely a stronghold. Okay. Not all at once. Jackson, you got one? Afraid? Yeah. We'll let afraid symbolize like phobias, okay? Not just fears, but like if you have paralyzing arachnophobia, that's what that one is, okay? Jeez Louise, you gotta nail me with that one, don't you? Yes, like mice. Okay. Jackson? Ticks, yes, okay. Other things than fear. You are good on the list of fears. Pride. I'm gonna have a really fun time getting to my sermon notes after this. Okay. Any other ones? You guys don't have any strongholds. This is impressive. I feel like my sermon is kind of a moot point now. Nicole. Anger. That's a good one. Money. Can I put greed on that one too? I am the pastor, you're right. Whoa! Can I have the yellow one, Drew? Thanks. Another one? Selfishness. Calvin, that's a great one. More? Ooh, control. I'm going to put another one up here with Wilma's control. We're going to put perfectionism. Oh, okay. I just thought that maybe it was because I asked so nicely. Okay. Self-worth. That is a good one. Nervousness? Yeah, that could be a stronghold, Jackson. If you let it stop you from doing what God has put in front of you to do for sure. Aaron. Pardon? Depression. Let me know if you need help there, Drew. What else have you got? Don't just think about yourself. Get a little churchy. Think about some other people who might have some strongholds you've witnessed. Don't point while you say them. Just throw them out. Bitterness. But in case some has crept back in, we will put down bitterness. I did not. Okay. Doubt? Yeah. Keep going there, buddy. Okay. What else do we have? Shout it loud. Don't be proud. Personal possession? Is that what you said? Sickness? Yep, you can definitely build a stronghold around sickness or infirmity when you allow it to stop you from walking into what God has for you to walk into, right? When you're like, oh, I just have so much headaches, right? It could be legit. That can be a real thing. But when you allow it to stop you from being all that God has called you to be, when you let it impact what he's positioned you for, Jackson? Pardon? Selfishness, yes. I think we got, yeah, I got that one in yellow right there. It's a good one, though. It's worth mentioning twice. Gentlemen, you are very quiet. Defensiveness. Oh, he's fortifying from the inside now, guys. It's getting technical. Doing great, Drew. Passiveness. Yeah, that should lead to another one if we combine two of these. Well, not the one I was thinking, but also good. Apathy. Yeah, I know, it's a big word, right? Aggressiveness. Put them together. If I don't get these cleaned off before they go back to Alicia in children's ministry, she's going to really wonder what I did to the blocks. Okay, Trevor. How did you even? Okay. Cheryl. Religion. Woo! You doing okay, Drew? What can I do to help you? Okay. We do not want our stronghold to timber yet. Judgmental. Indecisiveness. Ooh. No one's going to check my spelling, right? Laziness. This is a good one. It's great. We're getting taller here. Ah! Sorry, one second. We have stronghold problems. Yeah, fill it in. There you go. Now you got it. Okay. Our tower needs more strongholds. It's falling apart. Let me see. I've got some here. If I can get at them under Drew. What about lying? Ooh, that's a doozy. What about resentment? Whoa! I heard a tumble. I lost a shoe. We're having issues on the stage. You got it? Can I add one in here? We'll just keep going up and we'll keep joining them. Anybody think of another one? Jackson. Sweetheart, I cannot understand you. Boldness? Boldness can definitely be a stronghold, Jackson. That is an excellent one. Anybody got another one? Sound booth gets it. What is it, Billy? Guilt? Yep. What about worldliness? Worldliness. I know we're spending a lot of time here, but I got a reason, guys. Pardon? Ego, for sure. Especially in North America, I think that's a great one. Oh no, what's going on in the back? Oh, we got a hole. Okay. Oh, I lost a lid. We'll tie it into our next one, which is unbelief. We will have belief that it's going to be okay. Unbelief. That can be a stronghold. What about unfaithfulness? Is that a good one? Yep. Drew, you're doing a great job. Mom and Dad would be really proud of you. It was insecurity, right, Wendy? Criticalness? Yeah. What about addiction? I got the marker. It goes up. What about sexual sin? Right? Yeah. What about unforgiveness? Is there any more? I'm going to put the last one up for now. We can hide Andrew if he was sitting. It works. Self-indulgence? For sure. Billy, you can have the last one. Deception? For sure. Okay, Drew, this is it. This is the end of our tower, okay? You can put those ones up and then we're going to call it quits. You can work on it after if you want, after we have communion, okay? So what do you think? It's pretty, right? Yeah. I'm very thankful that Drew helped me How many of you think that it's a little bit disturbing that Drew is building a tower of strongholds that are labeled? Did that cross anyone's mind this morning? Be honest. It crossed mine while I considered who I was going to ask to do this in my office this morning. I knew that Drew is such a willing helper, though, that he would be so happy to help me, and I'm so thankful for that. Thanks, buddy. Do you ever think that as you built your stronghold, God watched you do it kind of like you all have watched Drew do this morning? A little disturbing, isn't it? He just kind of sat there and went, oh, I know you got rejected, and I know it hurt. But if you would just give it to me, if you would just let me heal that, if you would let me work that through with you, you wouldn't have to like self-isolate yourself from groups of people or only have a friend or have a whole bunch of really superficial friendships. Okay, Drew, that's good. Thanks, buddy. You can work on it some more after, okay? Can we have a hand for Drew? It's pretty impressive. Back is equally impressive. Yeah. The reason that we spent so much time labeling all of these negative things, which I am very aware probably 50% of you think I have spent my time poorly this morning. Maybe not. Maybe that's my insecurity block. Is because you gotta be able to name your stronghold. Because otherwise, you probably don't even know that it's there. And so, I'm not asking you, what do we have near the top here? I'm not asking you to pick up strongholds in your life that you don't have, okay? If deception isn't your thing, don't pick it up, okay? Don't be worried about a stronghold of deception in your life, that's not it. But when God showed you something this week that was an area he longed to set you free from, it is your obligation to deal with that so that you can walk in the freedom that he so graciously and lovingly and in kindness gave his son up so that you could have it. Think about it for a second. The creator of the world sends his son to die so that you can have freedom, and you go, yeah, but my stronghold is just so safe. I think I'd like to keep it. And more often than not, all of these bricks of our strongholds will come from some experience. Pastor Craig makes me laugh all the time when he says, show me a church's policy manual, and I will tell you something about the church's history. He goes, his word is a purple elephant. He goes, I'll flip through it, and I'll be like, ooh, this policy's a purple elephant. Tell me about the story that led you here. Because the policy has come off of an experience somewhere along the line. Your stronghold bricks are no different. There is a purple elephant somewhere that you started building that around to protect yourself, knowingly or unknowingly, and then it just kind of happens. And just like so many of these ripple affected, right? One person listed something and then it sparked something in someone else's mind and something else. Each one of them is almost like a stepping block to another potential stronghold in your life. Meanwhile, God is saying like, okay, you can have your multicolor stronghold with all of its writing, or you can hide in the cleft of the rock. What would you like? Because remember last week, if you were here, we had Sylvia over here in her imaginary stronghold, and we had Andrew up here who was hiding in the stronghold that was the shelter of the Lord. And if Sylvia wanted to join him, the problem was she has a stronghold between her and there, right? If you are hiding in these things, you have something that is separating you from the Lord. Is it ultimately destroying your salvation? No, that's not what I'm saying. This is not what I'm saying. Don't hear me say it right now. But it's stopping you from living in the fullness of relationship with the Father God. And it's not his best plan for you. So this morning, it's nothing profound. Listen, guys, I told you last week, particularly in charismatic evangelical circles, we can get really gung-ho about beating down the devil and casting things out and everything else. And guys, there's a time and a place. In Scripture, Jesus did that. But when it comes to a thought pattern, when it comes to a thought pattern that you have allowed to build up that stands against the knowledge of the one true God and isn't in line with Scripture, You got to tear that bad boy down piece by piece. You need to exert self-discipline and self-control, and you got to walk it out bit by bit, and that's what we alluded to last week. So the first thing that you need to do, sorry, the second thing, after you have identified whatever your potential stronghold is that you are dealing with, is that you need to be able to reflectively understand if you have a secondary problem. Do not raise your hands for the following question. Consider if God has shown you a stronghold in your life that he wants to partner with you right now to take it down. Consider that stronghold. My question is not, do you know that God can take it down? Do you believe that God can take it down with you? Do you believe that he can step in and partner with you to do that? Listen to me right now. If you don't in this room, you are not alone. Because it becomes a secondary problem that a lack of unbelief and faith stands between us and tearing down the strongholds that have built themselves down. Because if we actually believed fully and faithfully in those things in the first place and in God's ability to be our safe refuge, we probably wouldn't have built the stronghold. And so the first step that I want to challenge you, the second step I want to challenge you with after you label it is to acknowledge if a lack of belief or faith, so unbelief or lack of faith or a fear of failure is standing in your way. Yeah, Pastor Steph, I would like to get rid of unforgiveness, but you don't know where it came from. They didn't ask my forgiveness. They didn't apologize. This started when I was 2 and my parents threw out my soother. I'm being dramatic, but you get my point. Sometimes we justifiably have built them because of things that are going on. And then we prove our point that we don't think that it's fully going to disappear. It's always going to affect us somehow because of past history. But then we deny the omnipotence and the omniscience and the power of Almighty Living God, who is bigger than your susu issue from when you were 2 years old or whatever your situation is, okay? So if you have unbelief or you're struggling with faith that God can do that in your life, you need to repent of that. That is going to be a very important portion to you tearing down this stronghold in your life. Because otherwise, every time you try and make headway with the next steps on unforgiveness, you're going to feel like you're always going back to the beginning because you have an unbelief and you have an unfaith in God's capacity and capability and desire to deliver you from this thing in your life. So it's going to be kind of counterproductive, okay? So that is the second step. This is a quote by Alistair Begg. He is the really cool Scottish-sounding guy on the Christian radio station, if you listen to his program. Some of us are buried by doubt from whence there is fear and unbelief. Take up the shield of faith. Listen, most of you who can hear my voice today believe that Jesus' life, his death on the cross, his all-sufficient sacrifice, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to heaven, his entire life mission was to cleanse you from the penalty of sin, correct? There's other components, but that's the gist of it, right? Most of you wouldn't struggle with that. And yet, somehow, some of you would struggle if I told you that all that same package enables you to walk free from sin today, to walk free from strongholds in your life, that it is applicable to whatever you're dealing with now, post-encounter with Jesus, post-knowing all of this stuff. It is still as viable and powerful in your life today as that moment was then. That's the freedom that you get to walk in. You are a child of the Most High King. Know your position. What does that mean? Okay, it means this. Does the queen frequent things anymore, really? She's like, what is she, 95? Something like that? She doesn't really make a lot of outings anymore. Who does she send? The prince. Who's the prince? Charles. Charles is her son. And he has her authority in her absence because he is a child of the Most High Queen of England. So if he comes here today to our post-colonization colony and all the beauty that that politically holds, he means something to us. Guys, you walk in that. When you walk in a room, you walk in as a daughter of the Most High King. You bear his authority. You bear his mark. When you walk in a room as a son of the Most High King, you are a prince. You are endued with authority and power. You have a capacity to speak on his behalf in line with the things that reflect his true character and nature and all the things that make him him. So the next time you walk up to your stronghold, you go, I got nothing to tackle this with. You are the prince. You have the power of the Most High God. You have the Holy Spirit residing inside of you who will give you all the resources you need if you will partner together to do what you need to do. Listen, this is not, and I said this last week, we are not a group of people who are going to be like, ho-hum, I found Jesus, and now life is going to be okay, and I don't have to do anything. Paul says that faith without works is dead. Faith has legs to it. There's a component. And so we have faith and we have freedom. But the reality is that even after we encounter with Jesus, I'm really sorry, people are still going to hurt you. I don't know if you know or not, but after you come to Jesus, you are still going to sin. Will he forgive it? Does he forgive it? Is his death on the cross enough? Absolutely. Is it a license? No. But it's going to happen. And your experience, your walking that out, it could actually cause someone else to start building up one of these bad boys. It's a progressive journey. We are constantly working things out with him. We are constantly walking through. And so we don't get to step back and say, you know what, we can't have freedom because that means the cross wasn't enough. That's what you're saying. If you don't think you can have freedom from these things, then you're saying you don't think the cross was enough. And we're going to celebrate it this morning because you know what? It was. It was more than enough. It was more than enough for you to come to know him, and it is more than enough for you to find freedom from your blocks. You're going to have to repent. And repentance is a really weird thing for Christians because for some reason, some of us like to think we have to do it once and never again. We do. And you do. You don't need to ask for his saving forgiveness over and over and over again in that sense. But do you know, even in the Lord's Prayer, it says that we're going to forgive other people the sins and the things that they do that hurt us as he forgives us for those things that we do that hurt him. Repentance is part of the Christian life. And if you have not repented lately of something, I might suggest that you have a block you are unaware of. You don't get to do life and not repent because we're not perfect. We might be children of the Most High King and Queen, but I'm pretty sure that Prince Henry has proven to the royal family that even though you might be part of the royal lineage, you can still make some choices that the people above you might not love you endorsing them with. He's human. You're human. We have this stuff. But guys, we've got to walk this out. Paul, all through his works, the Gospels, they all talk about repentance that leads to salvation. And repeatedly, they talk about the fact that before, I mean, we as Pentecostals get really excited about the deliverance side of things, right? The demons being cast out, the people being healed. Do you know what they preach before that? Repentance. Repentance. It's a big, big part of the deal. So there's the repentance of the lack of unbelief that God can do that. But then there is the repentance about the specific stronghold that you have allowed to build up in your life. And you need to go to God and you need to ask him. You need to ask him to forgive you. And you need to ask him to help you create a life that has a better behavior. Because here's the thing that as parents we always tell our children. If you are truly repentant, your behavior will change, period. Scripture has it, fruit that bears with repentance. Repentance has fruit. Guys, your repentance is going to have fruit. There's going to be this component to walking things out. And so when you are self-indulgent and you repent, your life is going to become noticeably different. And you might hear some comments from people. You might not, but you probably will at some point along the way. You know what? I've always really loved you, but you were kind of involved with yourself. And lately, you've been really aware of what's going on with me and with people around you, and I noticed that difference, and I don't know what you're doing, but good job. But there's fruit. It's evident. Okay, guys? So listen, it's not always this big moment where you need to find some evangelist who's going to deliver you from whatever it is you're struggling with. Paul's teaching is, like we said last week, take your thoughts captive. Take him captive. How are you going to do it? You're going to get in God's presence. You're going to get in God's presence. Maybe it's just worship music. Maybe it's laying on the ground with your Bible open and just listening for his voice. Fill yourself with the scripture, okay? If you have a stronghold of unforgiveness, go find yourself all of the scriptures that talk about how if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. Find all the scriptures that talk about how much he has forgiven you for. Write them on cue cards. Write them on post-it notes. Write them on your hand for the day. And when you struggle, go back to them. Because guys, there's going to be moments where you're going to struggle with those things. They're thought patterns, and that's why you got to build them. You got to tear them down the same way that we built it up. And so you legitimately just start one by one by one, tearing down whatever that stronghold is. You are going to know who you are in God. Because I'm going to tell you that the minute you start trying to tear down your strongholds, the enemy is going to try and make you question what authority and what right and what claim you have to looking for freedom in that area. Who do you think you are? Your mother's bitter. Your grandmother was bitter. Your great-grandmother was bitter. Who do you think you are that you don't want to be bitter? I'm a daughter of the Most High King. That's not his best plan for me. That is a dry bone that I'm going to call to life. That's what that is. And that is how you're going to walk it out. Use the word of God as your weapon. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God. So get in the word, put it on as your weapon, and fight the battle, because you don't have to do this alone. And once you've done those things, don't be afraid to call a friend. Okay? Find a person who can support you, who can walk it through, that when you're discouraged, they can say, I know that this feels like an uphill battle, but look how far you came. Don't give up now. Don't walk away from it, because you deserve freedom. That's what he died for you. And you just walk it out, step by step, piece by piece. And you can do that with people. If you need to talk about it, you can always call. You can come in the office. I can refer you. Because sometimes when we talked about bitterness, we talked about bitterness that grows into post-traumatic embitterment disorder. Sometimes these strongholds are pretty deep and you need some extra help, and that's okay. You can go to counseling. You can seek resources to tear these things down, and God will partner with you in that, because it will allow you to be a better reflection of his love and his light to a people who desperately need him. It will allow you to love more purely. It'll allow you to understand more fully how he sees you, how he sees other people. Because guys, here's the thing. We've talked a lot lately about how we live in a world that needs to know Jesus. But I don't know how we're supposed to show them that if we can't love them the way he does. If we can't see them the way he does. And if I'm being honest, sometimes my strongholds stop me from that. They just become a haze. Our heartbeat needs to be that we reflect him in the best way possible, and we love relentlessly like he does, so that they can come to know him. Every single person in this room can do that. Kids are really good at it. Really good at it. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for communion this morning. And I am going to encourage you that while we hand these out this morning, that you would reflect on the areas that God desires for you to find some freedom on. That you reflect on the sacrifice he made so you can access that freedom. Because it was big. It was big. But he did it with such loving kindness. The scripture says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what we get to think about this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come back up. And so you justify something that is hurting someone else because that's just not the way we do it. And if what you're doing is hurting someone and you're not willing to change it, well, you missed it. That's the moment, right? And I am so thankful that we get an opportunity to not stand in our family legacy, to not stand in our natural inheritance in those moments, but to walk instead in His inheritance for us as His children, in His legacy. And we get to make a different choice because we have a different family we get to lean into in that moment, and it's an indestructible one. It's an eternal one. And all of the love and the kindness and the sacrifice that went into our access to that family, it's beautiful. And it's not always easy. And sometimes we slip up. And He knew that we would do that, and He still sacrificed everything for us because we're worth it to Him. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me today.